you to put your benefits right and in terms of what
the chocolate did nothing for me.
Yeah, so it affects people differently, right?
Okay.
And what was in there. So
all right. I'm gonna call the meeting to order. It's 11:31.
Sometimes I really have
if you can't sleep, life's hard.
Yes,
sleep on the see that.
It's actually 11:33.
Oh, so I still can't see the distance very well.
Okay, call the roll.
On this
game, call the roll.
Okay, member Javier Contreras. Yeah.
Present.
Member Scott Donahue.
Here.
Member Rob Fong.
Here.
Marcella Huggins did let me know ahead of time that she was unable to attend today. Dave Kritzberg.
Here.
Michael Reed likewise told me he was unable to attend, likewise with Kyle Weddington. So those three are absent. Vice Chair Quittell.
Here.
And Chair Thierkoff.
Here.
You have a quorum. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
Thank you, Chris. Okay, so our next item is public comment. Has any public comment been submitted? I don't think so. Have a visitor.
Hey.
Okay, so the next item, the approval of the minutes from our last meeting.
I move approval.
Second.
On a motion by Scott Donahue to approve the July 16th, 2025 minutes, seconded by member Rob Fong. I'll call the roll. Member Contreras?
Yes.
Member Donahue?
Yes.
Member Fong?
Yes.
Member Huggins is absent. Member Kritzberg?
Yes.
Member Reed is absent. Member Weddington is absent. Vice Chair Quittell?
Yes.
And Chair Thierkoff?
Yes.
Motion passes. Thank you.
Okay, so our fifth item is an action item. And this is our BIPOC small business needs assessment and plan, program plan.
Thank you. So continuing the discussion that we, well, really, that we've been having for a couple of years, but continuing the discussion we started in our last meeting. Recall that our last meeting, Northeastern University presented their findings from their needs assessment. There was a lot of discussion around that work. It was the EDAC more or less wanted to continue the discussion, of course, to to this meeting. And one of the things that came out of last meeting's discussion was that while this study is a qualitative study, it was exploratory, it has a relatively low number of study participants, and so is this actionable? And some of the members felt that it more data was needed and more study was needed. And some members thought that, well, but action should proceed. Something should happen. So what staff has done, and I was assisted by Economic Development and Housing Manager Valerie Bernardo with this, is we took the needs assessment as just a starting point and made, and this was in my notes from last meeting, a program intentionally to create a program. So what we heard from the needs assessment was, and from the EDAC was, we've had these conversations with the BIPOC business community, and we want more interaction with the city. And then there's these other issues that were uncovered. Perhaps there's an issue with permitting, in some cases. Perhaps there's an issue with operational costs. Those need further exploration. And could the city do more in outreach and coordination and talking to that business community in order to uncover the dimensions of those issues, build a closer relationship with that business community with the intention of coming back and addressing those issues specifically in a targeted way. So what I put together with Valerie was intentionally designed to be revised. And I arranged it as things like actionable, like specific things that we're gonna do now that are meant to uncover and explore additional things, topics, which we will then evaluate for incorporation into the program going forward. So it's sort of this iterative cycle. And to give a kind of a high level outline of what that is. Is we would take the business outreach work that we've done in the city, at least since I got here 9 years ago, has been informal. It's been done by me solely. And it's because it's informal, it's sort of just ad hoc. It also has decreased over the years that I've been here as my responsibilities have increased, my bandwidth has decreased. What I'm proposing is formalizing and enhancing that program. And the only reason I can suggest this at this point is that we anticipate filling our management analyst position. It's been vacant since last year, November, next month. And by formalizing it, I mean intentionally doing outreach to the business community and putting an intentional focus on the BIPOC business community. Since now we collect demographic data on these businesses, we can do that. We couldn't do that when I was doing business outreach because we had no idea. So I'll kind of explain what I used to do and how that contrasts with what this program would do. What I used to do is, if I ran into somebody, I have a conversation. I didn't have any programmatic way of going out to the existing business community. If an issue happened, I would engage. New business license applications that came in, I would routinely reach out to those individuals. I would contact them basically and ask for a welcome visit. In that welcome visit, if they responded, and usually I would just send an email. Hey, saw you applied for a business license. Welcome to Emeryville. Would like to meet, talk with you about what we're doing and how we can support your business. If they took me up on that offer, I would go to them and I would say, I would want to hear their story. Why did you choose Emeryville? How large is your business? How many employees do you have? What's your future objectives for this business? How do you see the city supporting it? Depending on what I learned from that, then I would talk about things like the EDAC. I used to talk about the next series of networking events. I'd talk about any programs that happen to be relevant to them. Like if it's a biotech business, I would talk about how we have a partnership with Biocom and partner with them on events, things like that. If it's a retail business, I would tell, independent retailer, I would tell them about our rebate programs that they're eligible for, things like that. And then always close with, if there's anything you can do that the city can do to help you achieve your business objectives, please call me and make me your single point of contact for anything, whether you think it involves the city or not. That's the same script every single time. I would do these with the new businesses as they came in. But again, no structured way about it. It was just sort of like, if I had time and I looked in the system and I saw an application come through, I would reach out to those folks. What I'm proposing now is to actually look to get 100% coverage of all new businesses that come in, first of all, meaning the system needs to be checked at least twice a week. And then multiple attempts at that contact, like really being persistent. So I have that always.
Do you mean all BIPOC businesses?
All for this, I mean all businesses. Because I think the pace of this is achievable. That's mainly okay. Why. Make those welcome visits happen just like I described. And then for existing businesses, which frankly have been completely ad hoc and random since I got here. Now, obviously, because I've been doing this for 9 years, I have contacts with a lot of the existing businesses, but never has there been like a conscious effort to go out to them. For existing businesses, we would intentionally, to your point, Rob, contact BIPOC businesses that identify as such. Now, only about half the population of business licenses reports demographic information, but it's a starting point. And if we set a goal of a certain number of contacts per week, per month, we can get full coverage of everyone who identifies voluntarily. And who responds, because I only get about 50-ish% response to these things. Some folks are just, we talked about this a little bit last meeting, like, get off my lawn, get off my porch. I'm not interested in talking to the city. That does happen, or I do more or less just get ignored sometimes. Be a little more persistent, though, in this program I'm talking about is, yes, we start with the email, but then there's a second email that goes a week later if no responses come in, and then a phone call goes in if we have that information for that business. And by being intentionally focusing on the existing BIPOC business community, what will happen is that over the course of, like I said, about 8 months to a year, the relationship between that business community and the city starts to get very strong. I believe this is true because it's effectively what happened when I was doing it in an ad hoc and random way. I can only imagine that if we're intentional and somewhat aggressive with it, that it can only be better than that. So that's the outreach portion of this. And that is a key because it feeds a lot of the rest of these things. So from that flows this business aid program. This was a specific recommendation that came out of the Northeastern work that said, you know, people need a single point of contact. Well, that's how you do it. You go out and you meet the businesses and you tell them you're the single point of contact and you respond. So formalizing that function means making sure that everyone on city staff understands that's person's role, that's what they're here to do, they're here to help. It shouldn't be a surprise to individuals in public works. If they're contacted by somebody in community development, the business aid, if they're contacted by somebody in my department that says, hey, this business has a problem with this, and they keep on that topic, that's that ombudsman thing that was cited as a really good practice, a best practice by the Northeastern University study. So we would formalize that single point of contact function. The business onboarding portal is relatively straightforward. That is just aggregating relevant information for new businesses in one spot that's prominent on our website. That is one of the actions we have up front here. That was also recommended out of the study. And then lastly, as far as actions go, I proposed that we explore the idea of a cultural heritage event support program. So what this would be is, and the way I propose to do this, because I don't know what the demand or shape of this is, I've proposed that we prepare a request for expressions of interest that we distribute to the business community and to cultural affinity groups, both within and outside of Emeryville. So things like the Oakland Black Chamber of Commerce, these groups were cited by the study as potential venues for coordination with Emeryville to help support that business community. The ECC is an obvious one, right? They're our business group. And what we would be doing is we'd say, you tell us if you have an idea for a cultural heritage event, Asian American Pacific Heritage Month celebration, Juneteenth celebration, anything like that. If you have an idea for an event like that, that is supportive of a business community, we would like to hear about it and how the city can support it financially. This is somewhat similar to the city's community grants, community promotions grants program that we do every year. That's run by the community services department. It's really aimed towards, you know, community events, you know, for residents. And they take various forms. Some of them are very supportive from an economic development standpoint, but some of them are not. It has an arts slant to it. And it funds things like Jazz in the Park and a number of other programs that groups apply to it every year. They get grants, I think, of $10,000 to $15,000 to produce their event. This is kind of similar to that, but intentionally focused on business support, economic development. We're interested in events that bring visitors, fill our hotel rooms. We're interested in opportunities to support the Emeryville business community. One example of this is the Bay Area Black Fashion Expo, which has been run by the proprietor of Spoiled Boutique at Bay Street the last 2 years and was pretty large the first year. The second year, which was this year, was coordinated with Juneteenth. And that event brought at least 2,000.
At least 2,000.
To the city of Emeryville. I'm looking at Krista because she's so with that Bay Street. And lots of vendors, BIPOC-owned businesses, had an opportunity to sell out of that. Designers from that business community had an opportunity to show their work as part of the fashion show. Tremendous thing. The city doesn't at this point have a Juneteenth event. It doesn't do anything for Juneteenth other than take the day off. And that, you know, I feel like in the name of supporting BIPOC businesses, we probably should do something for that. That's just one example. That is not meant to be the thing. But that's an example of the kinds of events I was thinking of that could be programmed, supported by the city, and support that business community. So the way this would work is through expressions of interest. And then it would start conversations. And then from that, we would form the parameters, the amounts, how much the city is going to support, what kind of reporting, what basis we're selecting the events on. Things like that are hard to determine without knowing what the level of interest is in the community. But by doing it this way, we can spread a pretty broad net and find out what kind of opportunities are out there. These are all meant to be, those actions are all meant to feed the next set of things, which is topics that we would explore. It's building the bridge, building the relationship between the city and the BIPOC business community, lubricating the conversations. So the next thing we would look at are the things that the Northeastern study cited as the things they were uncovering in the in-depth conversations and in the focus groups. Evaluating the city's permit process. We heard that. Generally, Emeryville is recognized as being good at issuing permits. I have lots and lots of examples of people saying, my God, your permit tech is the fastest I've ever worked with, and I've worked with all across the nation. I mean, things like that. But that doesn't mean it's perfect. And I think it is important for us to explore whether there have been some issues that perhaps the city can correct. And perhaps this gets corrected through the business aid function, you know, the ombudsman. But we would like to explore that further. These conversations that are happening through the business outreach program feed into evaluating that process and uncovering those issues. Likewise, operational costs and being priced out of Emeryville is something that was cited as a concern of the BIPOC business community. That requires further conversation as well. It's not necessarily the case that the city is probably not positioned to subsidize commercial rents, but it would be good to know whether there is anything the city can do in terms of operational costs. Is it the case that when a business encounters an emergency of some sort and they're so strapped for capital that they need some assistance to make their insurance deductible or a bridge loan to get them to back in operate? We don't know because we haven't had the conversations yet, but we'd like to have them. And perhaps there's a way for the city to help address in some small way this concern about being priced out of Emeryville or that operational costs here are high. Targeted marketing opportunities are another thing that is just a natural thing for us to do by understanding that the BIPOC business community wants more visibility, wants more promotion opportunities that are supported by the city. Well, as it turns out, we have our marketing program being implemented and launched later this year. So that provides a logical venue for us to plug that business community into that process. And then, of course, the organizational partnerships. I mentioned, if we're talking to the Oakland Black Chamber and the Vietnamese Chamber and all these chambers, they're interested in partnering with us, we're going to find that out through this request for expression of interest through our cultural events program. It'll at least get us the contacts and the venue to start those conversations. Is there anything you can do with the Emeryville business community? Would you be interested in establishing an auxiliary of your business organization to help? You know, we can talk about that. Because it's possible that many of these businesses are already members of those organizations, and we just need to uncover that. And then lastly, as I mentioned, this is all meant to result in another program, in more specific targeted interventions. And so to make sure that we are consciously arranging this effort, all of this outreach, all these conversations, these events, and all this activity, to make sure it feeds that conversation, we need to measure what it's doing. So we'll measure the outputs as of just a baseline to understand how many conversations are happening, what kind of coverage of the new businesses are you getting? Are we doing a good job at making sure we are having the conversations and reaching out to everybody? So outcomes can be, and this is something I'm open to, you know, discussion on as well, because it gets to what are the goals of this program. A good outcome might be that we have more BIPOC businesses than we do today. A good outcome could be that BIPOC businesses employ more people than they do today, showing growth. More economic activity, increased sales by byproduct businesses, something that in some cases can be measured by us. Qualitative metrics, I think, are equally as important, though. And that's what we measured with the needs assessment. How do you feel like the city is doing for you, for the support you are assessed? So we want to know what the perception of the city generally as a place to do business, but we also want to know specifically, just like the questions that Northeastern asked, we want to check in on that. If that's still the case, do you still think this is a good place to do business? Do you still think so you should be doing more? And of these things that we are doing, our outreach, our business aid, our cultural events program, do you think that adds value to you? Is it helpful to you? And doing that on an annual basis. One way we could do that in to gather more qualitative and conversational level data would be to do one of our business roundtables like we used to do with every industry focus and do it at the NEDAC meeting. Target those businesses, again, made much easier by the focused outreach program because now we'll have contacts for them. And we can have that discussion here and say, you know, and talk about what the city is doing for BIPOC businesses and whether it's delivering on its stated goal of supporting them. So to back up, that's an approach. There's a lot of different things we can do. There's the city council said this was a goal of theirs back before they adopted the strategic plan. One of the top 10 goals for fiscal 24, as I recall. He said, design a BIPOC small business support program. We, this group, has had conversations with multiple entities that work in this space over the years. We've now completed this qualitative and exploratory study of our business community, our BIPOC businesses through Northeastern. So we know a lot more today than we did before, but we don't know everything. So what this is meant to do is to try to show how we can get to where we do really know that community and deliver some benefit while doing so today. This doesn't require a huge investment by the city fiscally. I mean, we don't know how much we're talking about for financial support of these events, but I'm not imagining something that's grossly out of step with the community promotions grant program. We have the staff coming on board with the bandwidth to do this work. I want to continue doing it as much as I can. It's my favorite part of the job. And so I feel like this is a good sort of middle path between that discussion that happened in the last meeting. Let's do something now, but we don't have very much data. Well, let's do something now that creates more data and creates a better relationship with that business community. So I put this out there just for discussion. I put it on here as an action item in the event that the committee wants to endorse it. But you need not if you don't want to. If you feel strongly this is a good way to go, I would appreciate that because I think that the city council is looking for, this was referred to this committee as a topic area. And at some point, the city council is going to need, at a minimum, to see if we do implement this, they're going to need to appropriate funds for supporting the events. The other things don't necessarily require a city council action because it is already a priority of theirs. We already have the staff coming on board. But I leave it open to questions and discussion. And thank you for letting me talk so long about it. Valerie and I have spent a lot of time thinking about this over the last couple of weeks, so I had a lot to say.
I look at this as an opportunity for our city to think about all of the empty space that is not being utilized. By the way, I just want to thank Bay Street for fully occupying almost what you have. I mean, if you look at the rest of our city and you look at your occupancy, it's impressive. The rest of our city has so much empty possible space that could provide for small business expansion. And yeah, developers don't want to put in the infrastructure to have a bathroom on newish kinds of construction. You know, maybe the Emeryville could induce some minimum infrastructure improvements to make some of these spaces habitable by some unknown kinds of businesses that were not, you know, that are not necessarily retail, that are some other businesses that could utilize space. And, you know, maybe we can somehow create spaces like this having greater stability than the 1 month rental that a lot of these kind of spaces pressure people who want to use it to start with. You know, there's, we could think of our city as coming up with some way to have more stability, and you know, the fear of starting something and just not making it over the hill to profitability is so intimidating for small business. You know, maybe the city can design some way that new businesses can in effect try out something, and you know, we can share the burden perhaps with property owners, or press property owners to think about, yes, come on, just don't have it sit there. Look, we could mutually benefit by it being more developed space that you might have a future for, maybe not this business, but some future business, you know, this way. So I can just imagine that the BIPOC businesses would then get word of anything that is coming down the pike. They would see, hey, look, Emeryville is repurposing underutilized spaces, and we're getting a view of this right now first. We have options here, you know, that kind of thing. That's how I could see the BIPOC intersection with that. So this is a generalized vision. You know, I'm not getting specific enough to make anything real here.
But that would, if it's a potential business, it doesn't exist yet. There's no way to reach that. But if there's unless there's a business that exists but doesn't have a location but would want one,
expanding existing,
like a business, gallery or something.
And we do field calls for businesses.
Oh, okay. So you talk to potential businesses.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Usually they're usually not startups. They're usually moving. Expanding from another
city. And of course, if a business wants to move to a different space, of course, then they exist and they're in your orbit. So,
those are the best ones to keep, the ones that are expanding and have established a presence here.
My one dog example is the market at Watergate. And I didn't, one of the things that I didn't hear you say was, if a business changes ownership, are you tracking?
Oh, I should make that clear. When a business changes ownership, that generates a business license.
And I feel that market is a great place because it has an infrastructure in place, and the guy who bought it, I understand, is gung-ho to really help it move along. And I think, he's probably been in there.
That's Randy.
It's bought by somebody else now. Randy is still there operating the meat counter or whatever. You know, this is a grocery store in the Emeryville Marina. And before COVID, there were a lot of business people who went there at lunchtime and they bought all kinds of sandwiches and whatever. And the people who use the marina often stop there. And over time, it seems to become, as I said, a liquor store with old lettuce.
We got to support our schools.
I really want to see, as an experiment, whether or not we can help that kind of a business survive and become something bigger. I am concerned. Dave and I serve on the budget advisory committee.
That's very serious the way you said it.
Because, you know, we're looking at deficits to the general fund. And I really want to make sure that what we do here has some financial impact. You know, many cities have a sad story, and
I don't want our city to have a sad story.
Yeah. Saying what happened to Emeryville.
Exactly. So the thing that I'm thinking is, it's not just BIPOC. I would like you to identify businesses that have a real opportunity to be a real business, like this grocery store. That, you know, it has a captive market.
You could get a sandwich named after you.
Well, that might be a very good idea.
No, they do.
So sandwich naming.
This is, one of the East Bay property.
Or a liquor bottle, you know.
No, but you really can create a sandwich. If it becomes popular, stays on the list. Yeah.
I would say you should go there immediately. And the thresholds, do you look at the business plans of these new businesses?
They don't often, no. I mean, they don't use that kind of information.
You know, I noticed that people who come to the mixers, like one of my neighbors has an ice cream business. She and her husband have this ice cream business. Is that a business I want you to support, to spend your time supporting? That is such a little business.
It's in their house, right?
They rent space.
Well, ghost kitchen space.
Yeah, exactly. And their marketing, I think, is based on that. They're very nice people. And it's a Black couple, right? So that fits. But is it really a business?
I feel strongly that I give everyone, to the extent I can, equal treatment, in part because I don't know where the next big business is. Entrepreneurs, I would much rather, quote unquote, waste or whatever you want to, you know, my time talking to five businesses that are marginal, then miss the one that appeared to be marginal and turned out to be legit. So to me, I've always felt that way. Like I have colleagues that will not pick up the phone and will not take the time to talk to, you know, the person that's, you know, the mom and pop corner store. But they'll fall all over themselves to talk to the next biotech company, to talk to, you know, those guys. And I just never, ever approach the work that way. Give it for little guys that can become big. And it's the little guys that make the city. So I your point's well taken, though. And as part of this, the outreach program here, I have excluded home occupants, the home businesses from it, because mostly as a matter of, to kind of address what you're getting at. I mean, people will go out and get business licenses for little hobbies, you know, to play around and to sell things out of their house and whatnot, you know, drop ship things. And, you know, frankly, we don't have the time.
Right.
So it's a kind of a numbers game there.
I understand that. And when they do an event and they sell a lot of ice cream, they're really happy. But it's still this very homegrown thing. Whereas I'm in love with this grocery store that
I think they both get.
Right.
They're both worth talking to. Both worth having conversations.
And I like the Total Wine guy, too.
Well, that's a big retailer. That's a little different.